Good afternoon. This is the Senate Education Committee. It's March 24th. It's 3:30 p.m. Today with us we have Senator Gardner, Senator Huggins, Senator Stevens, and myself, Senator Dunleavy. I'm expecting Senator Deasley to come in momentarily. Today we have one item. It's going to be confirmation hearings, University of Alaska Board of Regents. There are four folks before us today, three live and in person and one online. Sherry Noretta, John Davies, Lisa M. Parker, and Andrew Tuber?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. We're going to go with you first, Andrew, in just a moment. I just want to remind folks that during this meeting, we just hear, we don't confirm. And so we'll be hearing today just like in finance, and then we will move names on to our next committee referral, which I think is going to be the body of the whole. But in any event, that's what we're going to be doing today. So we're going to try and do 15 minutes each, max, for each person. So with that, and I want to recognize that Senator Diesel is here, so we have a full quorum of five senators. We're going to start off today with Andrew Tuber. Am I pronouncing it correctly, Andrew?
Yes, sir. Senator Dunleavy, you are.
Okay, Andrew, if you want to begin, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then be prepared after that to entertain some questions. That would be great. So please begin, identify yourself for the record, and begin your just your introduction and presentation.
Thank you, and thank you to members of the committee. My name is Andy Tuber. I am the chairman and president for the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. I also serve as the president and CEO for the Kodiak Area Native Association. I'm a lifelong Alaska resident with three kids living in Kodiak. I'm an Alaska Native. I run a small helicopter air carrier operation in Kodiak, and appreciate the opportunity to appear before you by teleconference today. I apologize for not being there in person. I just had the pleasure of presenting a little bit about myself before the Senate Finance Committee, and was asked a couple of questions about why it was that I have put in and have agreed to serve pending confirmation on the Board of Regents, and I have a lot of reasons why I look forward to contributing in the university system and as an Alaskan. Primarily as a father and as a citizen of the state, I look forward to giving back and to finding solutions to difficult challenges that lie in front of us. I think that education and the work that the university system does and the opportunities that it creates for Alaskans is of vital importance, not just for the community, but for the state and its building of strength and times that that we are upon looking at ways to maximize the use of constrained resources. So I hope to be able to answer questions today to your satisfaction, and look forward to a dialogue and to working with the administration at the university and the other regents to find a successful path forward to achieve the goals and objectives that we all have as Alaskans for the university.
Thank you. Questions for members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Andy. I just want to say that I've known Andy since he was a child, and his family, his parents, his children, his father-in-law, and he's done a great job in Kodiak. But Andy, one concern I have is we have a bill that would attempt to regionalize the Board of Regents, and I'm a little concerned about that it might, in fact, cause people to approach the board not as a holistic thing, but the regents, but as representing their district only. Could you comment on that and what your thoughts might be?
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I believe that we're of like mind in that regard. I have the same concerns about the politicizing of positions that may result if there were geographic designations for regents. I think it's really a decision that obviously the legislature and members of the legislature are going to have to take up. But from my experience, both both in personal and professional life, and from what I've seen in my very limited time with the Board of Regents, I think that it would be to the detriment of the system to identify geographic designations because of the reasons that you've already articulated. I think that finding the best individuals from wherever they might reside in the state is going to only serve to strengthen the governance of the system to the extent that we're able.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. Best of luck to you.
Follow up? No follow up?
Thank you.
Questions? I have a question or two for you. Can we call you Andy or Andrew?
Yes.
Or Mr. Tuber? What would you prefer?
Andy is fine. Thank you.
This is Senator Dunleavy. So were you tapped for this role, or was this something that you expressed an interest in?
I expressed an interest in the position, Senator Dunleavy.
And why was that?
Well, a bit for the reasons that I've articulated, that I would like to see that Alaska and Alaskans have opportunities that are created through education. I'm the beneficiary of an education that's provided more opportunities than I might have had otherwise. And when we look at creating opportunity, I think that particularly those across the state and rural areas, if we can enhance the access or improve the access to education for post-secondary and the influence that it has on secondary education, I think that the university is a great resource and a tool for that. I think that how that educational opportunity becomes available to more residents of the state is the challenge that lies before the regents and administration, particularly under constrained resources. But I think that as a father of three, I'd like to see that my kids feel that the University of Alaska is an option for them as they pursue their education moving forward. And if there's anything that I can do as a member of the Board of Regents to assist in providing some insights into the areas that I've had experience, then I look forward to that opportunity.
You got your MBA from University of Washington, right?
I did, yes, sir.
Okay. And you've read the duties and powers of the Board of Regents. What do you what are some of I guess the short term? I don't want to sound repetitive, but I'm trying to get to know you just a little bit better. But what are you seeing as some of the short term issues you would like to focus on? Let's say over the next 3 years, because this is an 8-year term. I thought for a moment it was a sentence. It was 8 years, but it's a long time. Anyway, so Andy, what are some of the short-term things you're looking at over the next, let's say, 2 years as a regent?
Thank you for the question, Senator Dunleavy. I didn't anticipate that the economic situation that the university and the state are in would be the case when I arrived or when I submitted, and so from the standpoint of somebody who's worked in tribal health, and what we consider in tribal health is maximizing the use of constrained resources, really what we consider to be inadequate resources to achieve our mission. I think that the opportunity that I present when I come forward to work with other members of the board and administration is to find more economical opportunities to promote education throughout the state, primarily for our residents, but certainly with the intent to appeal to others as well. And there were questions in this morning's committee hearing on where distance delivery might be. And I think that would be an opportunity that we couldn't pass up, we shouldn't pass up, to try and ensure that we're improving access to not just the youth, but the citizens in rural and remote Alaska. I think that that would certainly be one of the priorities I have. Additionally, I think that developing a workforce, you know, I work in healthcare now, but I've worked in a number of industries in my life, and I think that preparing a workforce that is qualified and competent and ready to assume the positions that exist here in the state and any number of our industries is going to be important. And Alaskans are a special breed, so to speak, and I think that providing opportunity for Alaskans who want to stay in Alaska is going to be very important, but we wouldn't want to see that they're constrained in their opportunities for lack of education.
Thank you. Questions for members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And Andy, there's a couple of reports that the university has had for several years on administrative overhead, and actually I think they're called McGaffey reports. I may have those wrong, but anyway, two reports. They've been sitting there, and as far as I can see, they have not been implemented. And but what they basically talk about is the growth of administration in the university, the cost of administration, I think some 60-some people that make more than the governor in the university. Do you have any reflection on how you would think about looking at the administrative costs?
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I do, and you know, when an organization with both direct and indirect costs and the breakout, whether it's on the nonprofit or the university or government side, whether it's general and administrative costs on the for-profit side, I think that we have to recognize that the overhead is something that we have to keep a very tight rein and maintain accountability for. The McTaggart-Rogers report and the Fisher report are, well, I'm not intimately familiar with either of the reports. We've been briefed on them in my short time serving. I believe it's been around 6 weeks. And looking at ways that we can streamline and improve the efficiency of the single statewide administrative functions, consolidated functions that serve the various locations across the state. I think that ensuring that the state and the citizens of this state are getting their money's worth is going to be important. But I also feel that to attract and retain the quality of individuals that we want guiding our, well, guiding any industry in the state, but in particular this this university, is going to require that we dedicate appropriate resources, and that sometimes might be you know, challenging for certain folks to pallet.
Oh, thank you, Andy. You're right. It's the McTaggart report, as the chairman has told me, and the Fisher report. Thanks. I hope you'll keep those in mind.
Questions from members of the committee? Well, looks like we don't have any more questions, Andy. Again, how this process works, I'm sure you know, is that we just hear today, and then I'll read this more than once. I'll read it here again. For the information of the public, this hearing is conducted in accordance with Alaska Statute 3905080 and is for the purpose of reviewing appointments. Following our review today, the committee will be sending these individuals forward for consideration of the full legislature sitting in a joint session. It is at that time legislators exercise their options to either support or oppose any individual appointee. The process today is an opportunity to hear from and ask questions of these four folks. So that's the purpose of today. So with that, Andy, we're going to leave you and move on to the next individual that's a nominee for regent, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So next, might as well have, was it Sherry first upstairs? Sherry, come on up. So next we have Sherry Butera from Eagle River, and Sherry's going to give us an introduction, and then we can ask you several questions.
Thank you. And I'm Sherry Beretta.
Wait, what did I say? I'm sorry. I said Butera. I'm sorry, Beretta. I'm sorry.
So I'm Sherry Beretta, and I currently serve as the chairman of the board for Chugach Alaska Corporation, which is one of the 12 Alaska Native regional corporations. And it's a full-time position, and in that capacity, I also serve, have served as the representative on the AFN board for the same period of time. I served on the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council for 12 years, and the ANCSA Regional Association I chaired for 4 years. So I have a lot of experience with a board, and I run a nonprofit, Russian Orthodox Sacred Sites in Alaska as well. But my most extensive experiences with Chugach Alaska Corporation, my family is from a very small village in Prince William Sound, Tetitlik. And so I grew up between Anchorage and Tetitlik most of my life, and I now reside in Eagle River and Copper River as well. We spend a considerable amount of time on the river. And so the reason why I want to be on the Board of Regents is that Chugach and the community, I think, for our people in the Chugach region have benefited tremendously from education. And in my lifetime, I've seen the huge impact that it can make on our people. And so I've worked really hard to make that a priority in our company, as well as I know throughout the Native community, the fact that there have only been two amendments to the 7i agreement, which took 10 years to craft. One of them was for education and allowing for a deduction for resource development to go towards education. So I think that there's a huge investment that the Native community is making towards education, and I have worked hard to have the Board of Regents recognize, through my capacity as the chairman of the ANCSA Regional Association, to recognize the importance of threading that knowledge into the university system, because we are in Alaska, and the history of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act is extremely important. And so I've worked hard for that. And so Chugach Alaska Corporation has invested heavily in the university, and it's extremely important for us that it be successful. And with the changes in the federal government, Chugach has been able to benefit tremendously from government contracting through the 8A program. So we've really come of age from a bankruptcy in 1991 on the heels of the oil spill to becoming a very successful corporation that provides dividends, education, cultural preservation, and we're looking at development of our lands. And so the last 5 years we have been reorganizing and restructuring to remain solvent, remain profitable, and it feels like the university is in the same mode. And I think that because I've gone through that successfully, and we've stabilized the corporation, have had to do several reduction in force, have had to create efficiencies and look at processes and just really rethink the way we do things and implement change, that I'm in a good position to use my experience, recent experience, and we're still every day have to go through that to bring it to the university. So I think at two different levels, I have my heart is for the university for many reasons, including my own benefit to be able to do the job that I'm doing. But for the future, I think that the situation we're in because of the declining oil makes us look at other ways to be innovative and look at our opportunities, and we have to team partner better moving forward and mapping out the next 50 to 100 years for our people to be able to benefit from education and prosperity here in Alaska.
That's what I call a long-range plan.
Yeah, big one.
Questions for members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Sherry, it seems to me one of the big problems we have in this state is a lack of homegrown teachers. What would the university do? What could the university do to help fill that gap of Alaskan kids growing up here and becoming public school teachers?
Well, I know we have had a couple of teachers come out of our region, and there are challenges with the local school districts and some of the bureaucracy that exists in being able to let them teach back in their homes, so they move around, which is good to have that experience. But I think looking at ways to get to the kids when they're young, the ANSEP program is an excellent example of reaching some of those kids that are in grade school and middle school to plant the seed. I was actually in Tutitlec yesterday and brought two ANSEP alumni. They currently work there. We're working on a basketball court that used to be an outdoor basketball court. And so we want to bring ANSEP in there to work with the kids to let them know about the planning, engineering, and that they need to get that education. So I think exposing programs that work well and supporting them and looking at models of how to look at other fields in the same way. And especially with education and bringing our kids back to those rural communities to be able to serve their community.
Thank you, Sherry.
Questions from members of the committee? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks, Sherry. I think geographically you would be my border regent from Wasilla?
Eagle River?
Yeah, so that would make, I don't think we have a border regent from that, so you haven't had.
We had one in territorial days.
In territorial days, so.
Well, Titmic is definitely in my district, though.
Senator. So, Maria Williams, I believe, did your letter of recommendation? Yeah.
Apparently she has written that, and I think she has some information in there that might not be accurate for.
Understand. I was reading what she had to say.
Right.
What do you attribute your education success?
You know, I went to Nanaka Valley and Clark Middle School and East High School and grew up pretty poor in Anchorage, and I went to Anchorage Community College, and so it took me a long time working and going to school, taking a class as I worked and could pay for it. There weren't as many scholarships available back then, but what I found at the university was a whole different world than the world that I grew up in and saw. And so I think it was really important for me to have that experience coming from the circumstances that I did. And so I think it's, I've been fortunate in my job to really be on the job training as I've gone along and have learned a tremendous amount through that. But I also know that the university, if we partner with the university, with our companies, with our communities, and you know, we can make a real difference in the lives of our people. And so that's, you know, I have the last couple of annual reports that I've done have focused on education and the fact that we've affected a generation through our investment, the return on investment that we have in our people. We've invested over $1 million throughout the university system through the state tax credit and the interns and apprentice and our scholarship program. So, and we're creating an endowment to continue that. So I think what I've learned through my experience is that education is the key to empowering people from poverty and being able to have control over their own destiny.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, I think Senator Dunleavy and I made it to college because I think he was a pretty good basketball player. I was a pretty good football player, but it's a whole different story.
I would like to say it was purely an academic scholarship.
Yeah. We found education someplace in there. So Senator Dunleavy is the chairman of this organization, has lived out in the bush. His wife Rose and their family are wonderful people. But when we look around the state, there are certainly different dilemmas faced in rural education. Tell me about two of those dilemmas you see and how, as a regent, you would look to assimilate into our systems a couple of solutions for those.
Well, thank you for that question. One of the dilemmas that we have in our rural communities is the challenge of drugs and alcohol. And so I think that the way out of that is to create economic opportunities. And so this last year, Chugach has initiated a regional economic development initiative, and it's tied to education, it's tied to having a safety net, because we can't expect these kids to come in from rural Alaska and go right into the university where there's so many people that it just overwhelms them. So we're trying to create a mechanism for mentoring and a success so that they can have a village community support them when they come in and also encourage them to go back to the communities to give back and to serve and not just the somebody put it to me that the Settlement Act went from a subsistence economy to the federal handout to the cash economy, and I think some of the mentality is it's challenging for us to get through that and to make sure people understand they have control over their own lives and their destiny, and that they're empowered through education and they can create economic development in their own communities, and they have to. If they want to remain in those communities, they have to look for ways to be able to sustain themselves and to pay for their way.
Senator, so Mount Edgecombe, just ask you very quickly, do you think Mount Edgecombe has been a successful campus and education site?
Well, my mom graduated from there in 1962. She left the village when she was 15. And so I think, you know, in my own personal experience, it was very important for her. It was defining in her life. And I know other leaders that went there, and they created a community, and they've done amazing things in the state. Of course, there's always exceptions to everything, so I'm sure that there are examples of reasons why, you know, people had bad experiences. But I think overall, my mother had a good experience. She was a cheerleader. It's kind of funny to think about this small. I mean, the village is probably 100 people, and so she had that experience, and she really, you know, it's good. It was good for her.
So if you were queen for a day in the state of Alaska and you were looking down on all of rural Alaska, what two things would you do for education?
Well, I would ensure that the opportunity for good telecommunications was there, and that the teachers that go there, they care. You know, I don't know how you make people care, but I know that their teachers are so important. Teachers can make a huge difference in a community, and some teachers just don't want to be there. And so I don't know how to change that. Maybe it's through supporting more local teachers, but that would be the other thing. And to have a strong university that kids want to go to. I know that a lot of kids, my daughter is getting ready to graduate, and she wants to go outside, and I'm trying to encourage her to stay, but how do we encourage our people to stay here, invest in Alaska, and make us stronger?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, and good luck to you.
Questions? Senator Diesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sherry, thank you for applying for this position and being willing to sit here in front of us. I'm sure it's a nerve-wracking experience. So my question has to do with some of the doctoral programs at the university and how we pay for those. My own degree from the University of Alaska is a master's degree in nursing, and that's moving to a doctoral degree, which is going to be quite a bit more expensive. We also have the WAMI program. This is the family practice program. Right now we partner with, it's Washington, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. And the legislature is looking at removing the funding, the subsidy for that WAMI program. So how will the university make that up? And as I listen to you present yourself, you're speaking about your financial knowledge and expertise. What are your ideas to meet these kinds of program needs?
Thank you. Well, so we have a scholarship program, Chugach Heritage Foundation, and we give out approximately $1 million a year to our shareholders and descendants. And we had a portion of it that was for upper-level master's and doctorate. What we had when the economy went down, we had more people applying, and so we had to at some point put some limitations on those scholarships. And so what we decided was that the kids that were just starting in their and getting their associates and their bachelors and we do vocational training, that we would prioritize that, and that the master's and doctorate would become more of a competitive type of a, because once your earning power raises, you have more resources to be able to pay for those upper level degrees. And so having a balance of subsidies or some scholarships available, but also depending on your own resources to make those things happen for yourself, I think is going to have to be the way things are looked at. What's reasonable? What costs are, you know, but 100% subsidies, I think, are going to have to be really closely looked at, and retention. A friend of mine went to X-ray school, and the Indian Health Service paid for her scholarship, but she had to commit to coming and working at the Native Hospital for a certain amount of years. So, you know, setting things up that will benefit the state for the long run might be part of that.
Thank you.
Additional questions from members of the committee?
Well, Sherry Beretta, Beretta, I think I said Bernetta last time, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. You've gone through three of these now, just an hour and a half ago, and now another one. We appreciate it. So we're going to move on to Mr. Davies. Thank you very much.
You.
So our next nominee is for Regents, John Davies from Fairbanks. If you can come forward and state your name for the record and give us a little bit of background, then we'll be able to ask you some questions.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. My name is John Davies. I'm from Fairbanks. I've been in the state of Alaska since 1967. I came here to be a graduate student at the university, at the Geophysical Institute up in Fairbanks. At that time, it was the University of Alaska before it became three MAUs. And before the community college system was incorporated into the mission. So I've seen a lot of change in that regard. I'm also the deputy presiding officer at the Fairbanks Mercer Borough Assembly in Fairbanks, and I've served on that assembly one term back before I came in, before I was in the legislature, and now another term, and now I'm in my third term on the assembly. So. And in between that, as I just indicated, I served in the state legislature, representing a district from Fairbanks for about 10 years. So I have a broad public service experience in the state. I, throughout most of that time, I've been associated in one way or another with the university. I think the university is really important in a lot of the ways that the two prior regent nominees have spoken about the importance to their family and the importance to our children, the importance to our citizens for empowerment and economic opportunity. I think it, on the other side of that coin, is that the university is important to the state as an economic engine too. It helps bring some dollars into the state through the research enterprise. It also helps establish and grow businesses. It helps develop a more Alaska-centric workforce, you know, by growing our own employees. So I think there are a lot of ways where the university contributes directly to its citizens, but also indirectly also to the economy. So I think it's a really important institution. It's culturally important, too, in a large number of ways. So I value that. I've had a long, I've benefited from it. I have 2 degrees from the university here. I was employed by the university as a faculty member, a research faculty for a while. And I've, when I was in the legislature, I served on the budget, the university budget subcommittee for the House for all 10 of those years. So I really think the university is a valuable thing, and I applied to be on the Regents because I would like to give back. I feel like I've received a lot from the state and from the university, and I'm at a stage in my life where I'm mostly retired, although my wife sometimes debates that with me. But I believe that it's my duty to give back, and this is the way I choose to try to do that. So I'll stop there, I guess, and respond to questions.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Davies. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Disclosure, I have the pleasure of serving for 2 years, 1 month and 10 days with Dr. Davies in the House before I went to the Senate. And maybe a good place to start. What did you learn here about politics that will serve you in good stead when you serve on the regions?
Well, I think the first big challenge that we're going to have is, unfortunately, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's fortunate, I don't know, it depends on your view of fate, I guess, is the budget challenge. And I think I served in the House on the Finance Committee for 6 years, and so I know a little bit about how that process works. I understand the prioritizations that the legislature has to go through, and I have a similar kind of situation on the sitting on the assembly. We fund the school operation, and it's the same kind of thing. We just approve the budget. We don't have any other control other than that. And the same thing for the legislature. You approve the budget for the university, and then the regents and the administration take it largely from there. Although I think there's a little more collaboration than just that. But I guess what I learned here is that one of the biggest lessons that came out of here is that you can get a lot done if you don't care who gets the credit. And I think that may have been the single biggest lesson I learned when I was down here. I served 10 years in the minority. That's a challenging position to work from. But I think I learned to develop some respect across the aisle, and I was able to do a lot of things in collaboration with my colleagues from around the state, not just from Fairbanks, but from around the state, and on both sides of the aisle. And I think the key to that was to respect everybody as an individual and to work with them on the issue and not to deal with personalities.
Thank you.
Questions from members of the committee? Senator Hawkins?
Yeah, thank you. Hey, John, and welcome. I was land-grant universities, 360,000 acres, I think, are universities. And I noticed historically back in the early 2000s that you were one of the guys participating that voted, I think, against the land-grant. Could you just explain to us? I mean, you talked about the budget, and I think all of us would like to see some way to self-perpetuating funding for the university, and I don't know if you thought that land-grant university did that, but help us out. Why not land-grant university?
Well, I think we are a land-grant university, but we didn't get very much land, and at the time of the land that that was available was not very valuable, and I was concerned that there was a view that if the university got a big bag of land that was mostly moose pasture, that then it would be regarded that now we solved the problem, the university should just go forth and prosper. And so I didn't think that particular proposal for giving land to the university was going to benefit the university very much. And so I think that if there had been land that had more value to it, then it would have been a different story. So that was the short answer to that question.
Yeah, so just to follow up, not to beat a dead horse, but so I'm assuming that if this group of people here and some others got together and worked on some more valuable land for land-grant university, you're saying you would be supportive if it had some level of value?
Yeah, to the extent that it has some value in it. I actually applaud the president's proposal for kind of an alternative view of how the university could benefit from the land, and it's a different view. It's a view that's sort of a hybrid way of thinking about it, and it's more consistent, I think, with the view that Governor Egan had at the outset. He viewed that he opposed any kind of land grant to the university because he saw it as a violation of the dedication of funds, and he thought that the legislature should make that decision every year, and so opposed it for that reason. I wouldn't oppose it if we had the right endowment for the university, and maybe if it were not sufficient to fund the whole university, but could be dedicated to, say, dealing with the maintenance of buildings or something like that. I think that would be a good idea.
Senator?
Yeah, thank you. And changing on that, the funding of university president, you know, as I recall, President Gamble has submitted his resignation. And it followed shortly after it appeared that he was offered a fairly large bonus in comparison. There were cuts on the other side. But could you help shape for us how you see the equation of compensation for leadership in the university versus the students and what they pay to attend, and if there is any relationship?
I'm not sure there's a direct formulaic relationship between those two things, but I wasn't, of course, on the regions when those considerations were made, but I've only been on the job for about 6 weeks now. So, but having said that, I will say that I think that there was an issue with the compensation. It was a perception issue, largely, that, I mean, I don't think necessarily the idea of offering an additional bonus to attract a person to continue their service is per se a bad idea. But I think the timing of that, when it was just announced that we are looking down the barrel of a very significant budget downturn, that it just, the optics weren't very good, you know, and I think the university kind of eventually, I mean, they kind of held the fort for a while, but then they retreated in the face of the public pressure on that. I think probably that was the right decision, you know, given the situation that we're dealing with. I think everybody has to be perceived as helping out with the problem when it's an all hands on deck kind of situation right now. And so, but I mean, on the other hand, I would say that there is a competitive marketplace out there that the university and the state of Alaska exist within when we're trying to find good people to work, you know, for the university or for state agencies. And we have to be mindful of the marketplace. And if we want if we want really good people, top-notch people, we're going to have to pay commensurate to that in that marketplace, unless we're just really awfully lucky and we find somebody that's, you know, kind of willing to retire and personally doesn't need a lot of compensation. But you know, I think as a general policy, the university should pay something that reflects the market value, and that's generally, as I understand it, that's kind of what we do. We look at a survey of, you know, as we go down through the ranks of the administration and the faculty, the university uses surveys of what those compensation packages look like around the nation. We tend to position ourselves at about 90% of that or 70% of that. We use a formula like that.
Right. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, so we have your name before us. Why didn't Bernie Carl or whomever from Fairbanks? Why are you the nominee?
Well, I don't think Bernie applied. I don't know about him in particular. I'm before you, I think. Well, I applied. I signed up. Actually, I have been interested in being on the board for a while. As I said, my primary motivation is I believe I've gotten a lot out of the opportunities that the state of Alaska has offered, and I think I'm at a stage in my life where I can give back. And I actually applied under Sarah Palin as well. I put a letter in. So I've been interested in this for a while. It wasn't just a recent thing. And it's because I've been, like I indicated prior, I've been associated with the university my whole life here in Alaska since 1967.
So that's good for me. One more question, Mr. Chairman. So you're on the board.
I am now.
And you're
unless you guys decide not.
Suddenly you can do two things unilaterally. King for a day. I mean, whatever the title.
King for a day.
What two things are you going to do to move the university forward, and why?
The most important thing that we have to deal with right now is to figure out a way to right-size the university in the current budget crisis, and that's a little bit of a, you know, that's kind of a temporal thing, I hope. But it is actually, I think it's a structural long-term problem, too. I mean, we're going to look at declining oil revenues into the future. likely. The prices may vary, but, you know, on the long term, we're going to have to find other ways to support the university than just relying on a lot of oil flowing through the pipeline. So I think that the biggest goal for me, certainly in the near term, is to figure out a way to right-size the university in a way that does not destroy its reputation, in a way that doesn't destroy its ability to deliver quality education for students, in a way that doesn't destroy its ability to offer the breadth of education that we offer through the university and combined community college system around the whole state. So it's important that we do that thoughtfully. We have to do it, and we will meet the budget, whatever it is, come July 1st. But I hope that myself and my colleagues on the board will, working with the administration, find a way to make that right sizing happen in the least negative way possible, so that people will still want to go to the university, and faculty members from elsewhere will want to come to teach and research here. The second one is teacher education, and you talked about that with Regent Beretta a little bit. I do think that's one of the biggest problems we have is how do we train teachers who will want to and stay in teaching in rural Alaska. And there's the university has over the years worked on that problem. There's a plan that's been offered. Actually, the regents in coming into this fiscal year asked for some money to support that plan. I don't know, that's probably not in the budget anymore. But I think that the work that went into that, developing that plan, has some ideas that I believe we can implement without a lot of additional cost, but just by reprioritizing the way the teacher education prep programs work. And if I could be king for a day, I would focus on that program and make that program successful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions from members of the committee? One last one from me. What do you think of ANSEP?
I think it's a great program.
Is that something you would support as a regent?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Davies, for your time. And we're going to now move on to our next and last individual, Lisa M. Parker from Soldotna. It's our last nominee that we'll be hearing today. So, Lisa, if you can come forward, state your name for the record, and just give us an idea what you're thinking. We'll ask you some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As you said, my name is Lisa Parker, and I was asked to prepare a few remarks as to briefly describe myself and why I would like to be a Board of Regents. First, about myself, I am a lifelong Alaskan, and I've spent most of my career engaged in public involvement and resource development, all here in Alaska. My public involvement goes back to first running and getting elected to public office at the age of 19, being elected to the Anchorage Charter Commission, which unified the municipality of Anchorage into the government that it is today, or at least the charter structure that it is. I've also been elected to the Soldotna City Council and been engaged in many nonprofit boards, both as a board member and raising funds for specific projects, including the Kenai Peninsula Food Bank and Covenant House in Anchorage, to name just a couple. My professional career includes working for Cominco Alaska during the development and planning and initial operations of the Red Dog Mine. I served as planning director for the Kenai Peninsula Borough under Mayor Don Gilman and Mayor Mike Navard, and external affairs manager for Agrium's Kenai Nitrogen operations before it unfortunately had to close. I helped also organize the first non-persistent oil spill cooperative in Alaska, Alaska Chateau Corporation, which operates on a statewide basis. Today I'm employed by Apache Alaska Corporation, which is an oil and gas company that has operations, well, leases in Cook Inlet that we hope someday to turn into operations. Educationally, I went to public schools in Anchorage, including Mohawk Valley, as did Regent Beretta, graduating from Service High School. I attended American University in Washington, D.C., where I received a bachelor's degree. Additionally, I have a certificate in corporate responsibility from Boston College, and I am a Harry S. Truman Scholar. My involvement with the University of Alaska began as a student at Anchorage Community College in the 1970s. Since then, I've served 6 years on the Kenai Peninsula College Council and 8 years on the Mining Petroleum Training Services Board. With that brief background, let me turn to the question of why. Why am I interested in serving as the University of Alaska Board of Regents? As noted in my letter of application, I want to work to continue to develop a university that attracts the best. With my background, knowledge, experience, and understanding of Alaska and its people, I provide a perspective which will be beneficial during the critical years ahead. I believe the university can be a key to help Alaska during these challenging times as we shape Alaska's future. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's remarkable that of all four candidates, I know all of you. it's not a small state, but thank you, Liz, for all you've done over the years. A professor at university has given assignments in either teaching or research or public service. So could you talk about the research arm of the university? Some people look at the university and say, well, that's a waste of time. They're not teaching kids. What is the importance of research at the University of Alaska, and do you support it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Stevens, yes, I support research. And recently, Chancellor Rogers gave a presentation at the Anchorage Chamber where he talked about the research that the University of Alaska, primarily Fairbanks, but in conjunction with Anchorage as well as Southeast, has done. One, I believe that through the research that the university has done and can do, you highlight your state. You highlight the people that are there, but the quality that it brings. The other aspect that research can do, speaking from the corporate side, is we rely on universities to help us identify problems. We have identified a problem. When we look to the university to help us correct that and do the research to identify potentially why something happened, whether it's a decline in populations of beluga whales or an increase in population of sea otters. It is extremely critical, and I believe the University of Alaska, particularly as the United States takes over the chair of the Arctic Policy Council, that the University of Alaska has the key position to serve as the university for Arctic research.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Parker, I'm looking through your summary of your experience, and under selected accomplishments, coal gasification, $5 million for at one point, $2 million through the Denali Commission. What was the site of that coal gasification?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that site was for Agrium's Kenai Nitrogen operations. And in working with the University of Alaska and research that they did and their assistance, we were going to take coal from Yucabeli, transport it by rail either to Port McKenzie or the Port of Anchorage, transport it down to a facility adjacent to Agrium's facility, and then turn that coal into methane and use that to create value add.
Yeah, we're still working on gasification, but
and railroad expansion.
But more in line with your duties. Potentially on this board is the new power plant up in Fairbanks for the university. I'm hoping that we get that done here in the next few years. Have you looked at that, the challenges involved? I think it's coal-fired, as I recall.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that issue came up at our meeting in February, the challenges that the university is facing with the upgrades that are required at the power plant there, and coal is the main source at this point.
So it is one of the challenges that the university will face as to the structure. The system needs to be upgraded because it's overmaxed, over capacity, and so how does it get downsized to continue to operate?
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, so one final question. I wish you luck in this new endeavor on the board, but could you just share with us very quickly why you think that you bring a quality, and you explain that quality to us, that is key to the board?
I would say the quality that I have, Senator, is my love of Alaska, my dedication, commitment to, when I take on a job, seeing that I do a good job, and I am well-balanced, and I'm looking at all aspects of Alaska, having worked around the state with everybody from the North Slope Borough, Northwest Arctic Borough, to Dutch Harbor, and places in between down to Ketchikan. I think I have the knowledge and the diversity and also the planning experience to help move forward.
Yeah, one final comment, Mr. Chairman. I have to declare that I have a John Deere hat that I think came from your fingers once upon a time, a long time ago, and I just wanted to declare my John Deere hat.
It's better than a Kubota. No, yeah. Pips come.
Yes, sir, that was many, many years ago.
Yeah. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Lisa. So I've served on a board for a private school and recognize that the board's role is not micromanaging programs, but actually that fiduciary responsibility. That is the weight that falls to you. So I asked an earlier question about the doctoral programs that the university is pursuing and the fact that WAMI is, that's the family practice program, is possibly losing funding from the state legislature. So I often think about the tuition that the university charges. And of course, I had students in my office this session. They didn't oppose the tuition increase, which I appreciate. They understand the Financial Times, but how would you highlight your fiduciary responsibility experience in your various roles and what you would bring to the board in that realm?
Thank you, Mr. through the chair. Senator Giesel, from a fiduciary standpoint, one, going back to additional programs, whether they be doctoral programs, associate programs, I think from a university standpoint, we cannot look right now at adding new programs. We have to look at the existing programs that we have and identify what programs do we want to continue and where can we, I'm not going to say eliminate, but collaborate so that there's the partnership between the three campuses working together. Regarding WAMI, I know that is not a direct cut from the University of Alaska. It's my understanding those funds come from the Department of Education. I believe that it is a critical program to continue to bring back and get Alaskans trained in medicine and bring them back to Alaska. You know, we're continually doing that, and it's also my understanding if you use those funds and you don't come back to Alaska, you have to repay them. As previously, besides the various jobs that I've had in the past, I have also been a business owner, so I have had that financial responsibility to make sure that as a business owner, I am paying my payroll taxes, I'm paying my employees, I'm making sure that I have the income. I believe that I have the fiduciary responsibility. You know, and as a board member, one of the questions I always ask in a board that I'm affiliated with, a person was, unfortunately, the executive director had to let him go recently. And my question was, why? And the other question I asked was, there wasn't any funds missing, were there? So as a board member, you know, you always want to make sure that when somebody's let go, that there wasn't that reason that, oh, there's an investigation because we've lost X dollars. And so, but I believe I have that.
Just, I'm sure. Senator Stevens, probably off the subject, but you, I know you, I've heard you come from a family of historical importance in Alaska. Could you explain that connection? Was your father involved in politics, or?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, my family history in Alaska goes back to my great-great-grandfather helped build Nome.
All right.
During the gold rush. And then my grandfather also came to Alaska and at one point was mayor of Hollis here in Southeast and was a camp cook. My father attended the university in 1947 when he first moved to Fairbanks. So my family has been involved in Alaska, but I would have to say my involvement in politics and getting involved in public policy issues really goes back to when I babysat for Gene and Carolyn Guess. And Gene was a state legislator, went on to become speaker. Unfortunately, we lost him at a very early age. But it was working with Gene and Carolyn that I got involved. And about that same time, my father, who recently passed away, also got involved. So my parents served as wonderful role models for me, and when it comes to, you know, importance of education and why I do the things that I do, I have to say it's because of my parents and the values that they instilled in me.
Thank you, Lisa.
Questions? Members of the committee? Comments? Members of the committee? I want to thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
So with that, in accordance with AS 144150, the Education Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments to be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. This is for University of Alaska Board of Regents, Sherry Barretta, Eagle River, John Davies, Fairbanks, Lisa M. Parker, Soldotna, Andrew Tuber, Kodiak. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. So with that, we're going to conclude. I want to thank you folks for coming in, and Andrew, who is online. We're going to adjourn, and we're going to sign our little sheet. Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been very quiet today, but listening intently, and I'd just like to make a comment before we gavel out to say that all of us probably have a letter from the UAA Faculty and Staff Association, and they're asking us to sort of vet or consider vetting applicants here for a variety of things, including experience with higher education and experience working with large and diffuse organizations and familiarity with Alaska, et cetera, et cetera. And listening to the comments today and reading the resumes, I have to say I think the governor has done a wonderful job with these four appointments. I think we'll be well served by all of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, we're going to gavel out. Thanks, folks.